The people that know me well, you know I'm not a public speaker. One person would say, well, you spoke in Honduras, but that's the safest place to speak because you say what you say and then Mary fixes anything you say wrong. But Pastor asked me if I would be willing, and I want to go back a little. Well, see, now if I don't want anybody to count the times I say or the number of times I say oh, and I wanted to say. So, and that's that. But I do want to start. You know, we are all as mothers. There's universal truths about mothers. There's some things that we never want to hear, and I have a list of them. That's true for all mothers. These are things a mom doesn't want to hear. I swallowed a goldfish. Your lipstick works better than crayons. Does grape juice leave a stain? Look, I painted the front door. The principal called. But Dad says that word all the time. What's the cost to fix a window? The dog doesn't like dressing up in your clothes. Has anyone seen my earthworms? I'm going to run away. Well, maybe some days. And then the last thought from others is, I'd be an ideal mother if it wasn't for my kids. And, you know, that's true, but each of us has our own story, and that's what I've come to share today. And about a month ago at North Point Bible College, we had a campus experience, and somebody was praying over me in one of the services, and after she finished praying, she looked at me and she said, people are going to start coming asking you to tell your story. And she said, and God's going to use you, and I think you need to be ready. And you know how sometimes people will say something to you and it really resonates with your spirit and you get a witness? Well, I didn't get a witness. And I thought of a friend of mine who's always telling me things like that, and I thought of Carol, who was telling me it then. I thought, that's interesting, because I'm not viewed on that campus as a public speaker. You know, so it just surprised me that she would say it. Well, the next week I come to church, and Pastor Randy says, you know, I was wondering if you would be willing to tell your story at church on Mother's Day. And I said, I'll pray about it. And I told him I would tell him in a week. So I did pray about it. And during that week, I got a random email, people I've never heard from before. The group is called Encourage. And it said, we women need to learn. We need to tell each other our stories. And then I was sharing with somebody else at North Point about the whole conundrum. And I said, you know, just because these things are coming up doesn't mean now is the time. And she said, well, there was that man that was stuck on the roof in the flood, and a rowboat came and a helicopter came. And he said, well, I'm just asking God to come rescue me. And when he passed away, and he said to God, well, why didn't you rescue me? He said, I sent a rowboat and a helicopter. And so when she said that to me, I said, you know what, maybe this is the time. So I apologize for people who don't know me at all. I apologize for people, this might be their first Sunday. Please come back another time. So I'm going to start my story. And I really don't want this to be about me. It is about me because each of us is special. And God has made us all for a purpose. But what I would like to come out of this is how God works in people's lives. And I would just like to share how God has worked in my life. And I am just going to pray because I am nervous. And even though most of you here are friends and family to me, I just want God to speak. And I want him not only to use my lips, but I want him to speak to your hearts. So, Lord Jesus, I just praise you and I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for your goodness toward us. I thank you that you plan for us, Lord God. You direct our steps and you work around us even when we're not willing, Lord God, to listen to what you have to say. And I just pray that you would use what I say now, how I share what you have done in my life, Lord God, that it might touch someone else's life and that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I just want to thank Pastor Randy, too, for asking me, because as I was working on what to say and looking over my life, it was such a blessing to remember the things, the way that God has worked. And I just want to start with Psalm 27. And I'll be reading from the NIV. And this is a psalm that many times during my life, God has brought up to me. I can remember praying when I was like college age in my room and God bringing this psalm to me. Mary Valencia made a plaque for me one time. She put this psalm on it. And it just, God brings it into my life. So I would like to share it with you. It's Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war broke out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. So I grew up in a Roman Catholic family. I went to a Catholic high school. I have a friend that teases me about never doing anything wrong. I didn't get into drugs. I didn't sleep around. I didn't do those big bad sins. But I was a really good liar. And I can remember times when I was lying to my teeth, and it was obvious that I was not telling the truth, but I would not give up. I hung on to that lie. And I think my kids, I really emphasized telling the truth to them. And you know, I don't know if they ever realized why it was so strong in me, is because I'm a really good liar. Not anymore. Now I hope everything I have told you is the truth, and I'll try to tell the truth today. But I grew up in Catholic Church, so I knew the story of Jesus. I knew that Jesus died for sins. I knew it all. And I was a good Catholic. You know, when I was really young, I wanted to be a nun. So I knew the story. But my freshman year in college, I went to Eastern Connecticut State College, and I met a girl named Aggie who was on the floor in my dorm. And she had a love relationship with God. you could just see it. And one day at lunch, I said to God, God, I want that relationship with you that Aggie has with you. And that's when I gave my heart to the Lord and realized that he had died for me personally. And I grew in relationship at Eastern. We went, that's where my whole theological education took on. Because when you're on a secular college campus, if the Christians get together, they all come from different backgrounds. So we had Bible studies taught by a Baptist pastor. We had a Bible study in the Salvation Army. And I was most involved in the Catholic Charismatic movement. In fact, we went a lot of Saturday nights from Willimantic to where Aggie was from, which was Danbury, where God was moving. And there was a prayer meeting on Saturday nights, mostly college, high school, college-age kids. 200 people would get together on Saturday night for a prayer meeting. And God was really moving. There was what is now classified as wildfire. There was a lot of interesting theology being thrown around there. And one thing, Jesus was coming back in 1981. And we know that didn't happen. But God was really moving, and through that I really learned to how to seek God, the importance of prayer in my personal life, and reading scripture. And also from the other influences, the Baptist people that I've known, no one can touch their love for scripture and the respect that they have for God's word. And but anyway, I graduated my senior year in college. I was an early childhood major, and I decided that I really didn't feel comfortable in the classroom, and so I wasn't going to pursue a teaching career, which thrilled my mother no end, you can imagine. But I just didn't feel that's what God had for me. So I went to work in Ames department store general offices, and I worked in the sales audit department, and I met a girl there. See, God has his hand upon our lives, and sometimes we don't realize what he's going to do, where he sends us. But there was a girl in that department, Denise Lewis, who was a Christian, and she really encouraged me in my walk. I learned a lot from her about living a separated life unto the Lord. And the thing that was really special, I mean, I love Denise, but the thing that was really special about that time is her church. She went to the Wethersfield Evangelical Free Church. So there's another denomination in my life. But God had brought people, 20-somethings, a group of 20-somethings from all over the country, professional people, to that church. And so they started meeting together, and she invited me to come to join them. And so I did. And that group of people, God just used mightily in my life. And we did a lot of things. We had Bible study. We went to church together. We went camping together. We used to do these things we called adventures. We would paint people's windshields. We would one of our friends, we hurt his feelings because at Thanksgiving time we went. His roommate let us into their apartment. We painted a turkey on his mirror in the bathroom and said Happy Thanksgiving, and he felt we were calling him a turkey. So we had to cut out those activities. But God was working in us, and from that group of people who I'm still in contact with, there's three people in full-time ministry. The majority of the rest of us are very supportive of missions. And so you don't know what God is doing. And you can have fun in life, and still God can work in you and help you to grow. But it was in Wethersfield Community Church. I was sitting, and one of my friends, Gordon, was being commissioned. He was going to full-time missions with teen missions. And another friend had just been commissioned going to Campus Crusade. And I remember sitting in the pew, and I said, God, you called Gordon, you called Carol, why haven't you called me? And that was the first time that I've ever heard God speak in an audible voice to me. And he said, I have called you. And that was just such an encouragement to me that God was going to use me no matter where he sent me. And at that time was when, it was about that time that I decided I didn't want to work at Ames General Office the rest of my life. And I could have. My supervisor was retiring. She called me in the office one day and said, Elaine, I'm going to retire. Would you be interested in my position? But I knew that's not what I wanted. And so I went to the Lord and I said, God, what is it you would have me do? What do I like to do? What am I good? I would go to school. So I went back to school and I got my graduate degree in library science. And I was still, I was living at home. I was working part-time jobs. I was still involved with the group at Wethersfield Community Church. In fact, because I was living at home, out of respect for my parents, I attended the Catholic Church in the morning. I'd go to Sunday evening service at Wethersfield, and that's when I heard God's voice. Well, God did call me, and it's interesting that God will give you messages, and sometimes you think it's for this time, but sometimes he brings it. You know, he says, remember when I said this? Well, this is part of that. And so when I heard him say he called me, very soon after that, I got a job in Waterford, Connecticut at the public library as the assistant children's librarian. And I moved to live with a friend of mine in Ledyard, so I was looking for a church. And as a matter of fact, I came and visited Norwich Assembly of God when I was church hunting, and I decided not to stay. Sorry. But God had other plans, because the secretary at Waterford Library was a Christian. She said, well, why don't you come visit our church? So that was Huntington Street Baptist Church in New London. And the first Sunday I was there, she introduced me to a young man named Bill Martell. And she said that, that's later on in the story. Anyway, don't count that. Bill, I would love Bill to be here, because I always like to tell him to tell the story, because he says, yeah, I was sitting a couple rows back, and I saw this young woman with long, beautiful hair, and I said, I could marry that woman. So I always like to tell the story. But we met each other, and as many of you know, we ended up getting married. But that's not the whole story, because Bill, at that point, was ready to settle down. And I, on the other hand, was enjoying my life. For the first time, I really felt comfortable with myself. I felt I knew who I was in Christ. And for someone, after I passed the nun stage, all I wanted to do was get married and have kids. At that point in my life, I wasn't quite ready for that yet. And I really was real comfortable with where I was. Well, Bill was a little more serious. But we, on our second date, we were sitting in a Chinese restaurant, and just so happened, the waitress came, took our order, and we sat and we talked and we talked and we talked, and then we saw her sit at a table. She had forgotten us. We had plenty of time to talk. But one of the things we were talking about was, I said, because I really felt at the time that God had a big change in my life coming. And so I shared that with him. I really felt God had a big change. He said, well, what do you think it is? And another audible voice, and God said, I want you to give yourself to this man. So I said, I don't know. I put my head down. And like I said, you would think an audible voice from God, you would go forward being obedient to what God has to say. But I was comfortable with my life. So although Bill was moving this way, I was moving this way. But God had a plan. And God did bring me to the place where I knew that Bill was the man for me. So almost a year to the day that we met, Bill and I were married. And he was my best friend. He was the love of my life. And I just am thankful for that he brought Bill Martell into my life. And we lived for a while in Middlefield. We bought our first house in Middlefield, and that's where Jeremiah and Jonathan were born. And I have to share this story because this was the mighty hand of God. When I was 7.5 months pregnant with Jeremiah, I was working in Portland in the library, and I was really sick, and I didn't realize how sick I was, but I knew I would spend a lot of my time. I'd go into work. I'd spend most of my day laying down on the couch in the back room, coming out and do a story hour or anything else I had to do from work, go back and lay down for like a few days of work. And then I had a regular doctor's appointment, and we went in. Bill didn't usually go with me. But he said, I think I want to go to the doctor's appointment with you. So he came. We got upstairs. They took my blood pressure. And, you know, you women who have been mothers, you know the whole routine. They take good blood pressure, they weigh you, and they check your urine. Well, they did those three things. The doctor comes in and says, did you ride up the stairs? And I said, no. He said, your blood pressure is a little high. I'm going to have you lay on your, whatever side it was, right side, and we're going to retake your blood pressure. And then he said, can I see, you know, her weight? And then he said, there's nothing to worry about, but we're going to put you in the hospital. He said, your blood pressure is really high. There's protein in your urine, and you gained a little bit of weight. We're going to put you in the hospital overnight. No lights, no company, no phones. It's just a quiet night. Well, when we got over, the hospital was like just across the parking lot. When we got there, they took my blood pressure again, and they put a baby monitor on me, and they found that I was already having contractions, even though I wasn't feeling them. And the doctor said, there's nothing to worry about, but you, obviously, there's something going on. Your body is saying you better get this baby out of here. So he said, what we're going to do is we're going to call UConn and Yale, see who has a bed for the baby. We'll deliver you here and send the baby by ambulance to whichever hospital has the opening. And he left. And all through this time, though, God gave me a real peace. I was really at peace, which you know at this point must be God, because the doctor came in again. It's nothing to worry about, but I'm not very happy, he said. There's an opening at UConn, but they're insisting that we send you up to UConn to deliver up there. And he said, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to send you in an ambulance with a doctor with a shot in case you go into convulsions. Bill could not ride in the ambulance with me. But my doctor, God bless him, he followed the ambulance up so he could deliver the baby up at UConn. So we're in the ambulance. The important thing is that Elaine stays calm. We're driving in the ambulance, and it's bumpity, 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 bump. I looked at the doctor, and she kind of rolled her eyes. But anyway, then we're getting close to UConn, and we hear the two people in the front of the driver and the other person in the ambulance, and one of them says, do you know how to get to this place? And the other one says, no, I guess there'll be signs. But anyway, anyway, we got there safely, and I was the most important person in the hospital. You know, they got me in, they got me hooked up. And then there was a woman across the hall who was having twins, and they lost one of the heartbeats on the monitor. And then she was the most important person in the hospital. But everything went well with the twins, and everything went well with my delivery. I was put out. It was an emergency C-section, and I was not awake for another 36 hours. But Jeremiah was born, and Jeremiah weighed 3.5 pounds when he was born. He had no problems. He had one incident of apnea where he wasn't breathing. The alarm went off. By the time the nurse got to him, he was breathing on his own again, and that was the only difficulty he had. So I just thank God. God obviously had his hand upon him. And he was in the hospital for a month. The kids in the church that we were going to at the time were praying. It was just before Easter. And they were praying, oh, please let Jeremiah, little baby Jeremiah, come home before Easter, please. Well, we came home Saturday. Jeremiah came home. I was already home. Jeremiah came home. But Bill went to church on Sunday. And when the kids saw Bill walk into church by himself, because they were really putting. And so when Bill got up and testified that Jeremiah was home, it really was an encouragement to the church. And we prayed then, and I pray today, that the kids will remember that prayer, how God answered their prayer on that day. Let me see, how long have I been talking? I still got time. So anyway, I'm just thankful that, you know, God was there at that time, and he got us through, and everybody knows that Jeremiah grew up, and he's a nice young man now, and he plays the piano okay. And let's see. Then we moved to Canterbury. My mother, we didn't live long in very many places. And my mother used to say that every time my house got dirty, I moved. But we lived in Canterbury, and then we moved to Montville, and we went to a very small church there called Maranatha Assembly of God. And I just want to share what I learned there is determination that God can use anyone who is willing. Pastor Billy Robinson there was, he had a form of muscular dystrophy. He preached from a stretcher. And his wife taught me about sacrificial giving and love. And it was just an experience. And I wish I could share how everyone has touched my life, because everyone I know has touched my life, but I can only pick the highlights. Okay, then we moved to Montville, and again we looked for a church, and we thought that we would go to a different church. No, yeah, we looked. That's right. Went to Montville. That's where we went to Maranatha. Then we moved to where we are now. And we thought we'd go to the church we used to go to when we lived in Canterbury. But the pastor had changed, and we didn't feel it was the right fit for us. So Bill was taking classes with Pastor Johnson here at Norwich Assembly of God. And he said, why don't we just go to Norwich Assembly of God? So we did. And Jeremiah was really glad that we came here. But I did want to share about one incident where God was really with us again when we were in Montville. And that's where Sarah and Nathaniel were born. And when Sarah was very young, she was playing in the kitchen with some coins. And I turned around, and one of the coins was missing. So I was afraid that she had swallowed the coin. So I called the pediatrician and said, what should we do? And they said, well, probably it will just come out. But to make sure it went into the digestive tract and not into her lungs, you should probably get an x-ray. So we went and we got an x-ray, and there was no coin. Hallelujah. Went home, The next day, the doctor himself called. So you know it's serious when the pediatrician himself calls. And he said, we were right, there was no coin. But there is another problem, and we're going to be sending you to a pediatric pulmonologist. So we went to the pediatric pulmonologist, and she was diagnosed with what's called this left lobar emphysema, which means that the top third of her left lung is flabby tissue. It doesn't work right. And so the doctor said, this is what we do. We do surgery. We take off the top third of the flabby tissue and then just allow the rest, the healthy lung, to do its job. Well, you can imagine we were pretty upset to think about our two-year-old going through lung surgery. And we prayed. We prayed for healing. We prayed. I noticed a girl, the pastor's daughter, the church we were going to in Montville, had been very badly burned at a young age. And she had scars on her face. Her back was very badly scarred. But I saw her sitting in church. This was a few years later. And I looked at her face and I said, you know, if you didn't know what she'd been through, by looking at her face, you wouldn't know at this point in time. And I said, God, thank you for what you've done for Mandy. And I said, God, please heal Sarah. So we went back to the doctor for the regular physical, regular checkup, another x-ray. I said, this girl will never be able to have children because they keep taking x-rays. But we went for another x-ray. And then at the end of the visit, the doctor just said, okay, we'll just keep an eye on her. We'll make another appointment. And I said, well, what about the surgery? And she said, oh, didn't we tell you? He said, in the last month, we've changed the philosophy because we have found that people that are diagnosed as adults are no worse off than those that are diagnosed as children. So we're not doing the surgery anymore. And we were just really thankful that God had her diagnosed at that time. A month earlier, she would have had that lung surgery. And because it was like in God's perfect time, she did not have that surgery. And she has grown up to be a lovely young lady. And I'm just thankful for the way God works and that he's given me four beautiful children. And I'm just thankful for that. Also, because we came here to Norwich Assembly of God, we were introduced to Zion Bible College. And at one time, there was a person that was on staff at Zion that was coming here. And she found out that I had a degree in library science. And I hadn't worked since that night I went to the hospital with Jeremiah. In fact, Bill called my boss and said, Lane's not coming to work anymore. She had the baby. So I hadn't worked, but when she found out I had the degree, she said, you know, we need a degree librarian for accreditation at Zion. Would you be interested? And I said, well, I'll be interested in going and talking. And so I did go and talk, and I started working there part-time. At that point, it was two days a week. It was in Rhode Island. I was still homeschooling my kids, but they were getting a little older, and it was working out okay. And the person that was in charge of the library was going to be getting her degree. So I was there to help with their accreditation. And after a couple of years, I just decided it was leaving too much on my family, so I left. And then a couple of years later, my oldest son was going to college, and we realized he needed a little help financially, and I started looking for a job, and I couldn't find one. So then I called the dean, and I said, would it be possible for me to come back? And he said, oh, sister, you're an answer to prayer. And so I went back, and I was working 3 days a week. I was still in Rhode Island, and then As many of you know, the school moved to Massachusetts, and the dean said, when we moved to Massachusetts, are you going to be coming? And I said, no, I don't think I'm going, because it went changed from an hour commute to a two-hour commute. I said, I don't think so. And so again, I was looking for a job, and I couldn't find one. And I said, God, do you want me to go to Massachusetts with Zion? And then the dean approached me again. He said, I just want to ask you again. He said, we'll do this. We'll let you work one day at home. We'll give you a room on campus. We'll give you 2 weeks vacation and a raise. I said, I'll pray about it. So I did, and I went up there for 2 days a week on campus, 1 day a week at home, and I've just been really blessed by that, the relationships that I've gotten there, the encouragement of growing in the Lord that I've received up there, and I just am thankful for God putting that community in my life also. I do feel that I need to share this part, and hopefully I will make it through. The hardest thing I ever had to do in my life was 3 years ago, on March 9th. I think this was the hardest thing Jeremiah probably ever had to do in his life, too. But three of my children were still living at home. Jonathan was married and was living in New Hampshire, but I was still commuting up to Massachusetts, Zion. I was there on Wednesday night, and I had talked to Bill on the phone. Cause every night, all the time when I was up there at night, Bill worked nights. He went to work 10 to 6. We would pray together before he went to work. And so that night was during break, so my schedule up there was a little different. So I talked to him about 7:30 in the evening, and I said, when I get back from supper, I'll call you back, and we'll pray. And so about 10 o'clock, actually it was after 10, because I figured he was already at work. I called his cell phone. No, don't count this one. It was before 10 o'clock because I called him and nobody answered the phone. And I said, oh, he must be busy, you know, getting ready. And then a little bit before 11, I got a phone call. And it was Jeremiah. And I guess he pulled the short straw or something. But he said, Mom, and I didn't understand. He woke me up. I didn't understand what he was saying. I said, what? I don't understand what you're saying. And finally, poor Jeremiah finally said, your husband is dead. Because Sarah and Nathaniel had come home from school and they found Bill in the living room. They called 911. Nathaniel tried CPR, but they took Bill by ambulance. And Jeremiah said, maybe not. They're still working on him. They're putting him in the ambulance. But I knew at that point that God had taken Bill. And I called Pastor Randy. I called Katrina, because she was the first phone number I could find. She called Pastor Randy. Pastor Randy called me back. And again, God gave me a peace, even though I knew that Bill was gone. I called Phaedra. She brought me down to the hospital. And again, God was faithful, because, you know, not very many people had to have the relationship that Bill and I had. Like I said, he was my best friend. He was the love of my life. He loved me. And you know that saying, the best thing a father can give to their children is to love their mother. Bill did that. And I am just so grateful for Bill Martell being in my life for 27 years. And I'm glad that when God spoke to me, He finally got me turned around and I was able to have Bill in my life. And I really think now God is bringing me again to another change. And I'm grateful for all the friends and family that I have. I'm thankful for this church family. I'm thankful for my physical family who are encouragement to me. I want to share one more personal word that God gave me. It was a little bit after Bill had died. And I had a dream where I was sitting in a chair and Bill was standing in front of me and I needed help getting up out of the chair. And Bill reached out his hand and helped me up and immediately he was gone. And then I woke up and I knew that what God was telling me was he had put Bill in my life for a purpose to get me to be the person that I am, the place that I am right now. But now he has something else for me. And I'm just thankful sometimes that God has a plan for me. I have to be honest, sometimes I would be happy for God to take me now. But I know that God has a plan for me. And I know He wants to use me for His kingdom. And I just want to encourage everybody. This is my story. It's not a fancy story. It's not extremely funny. You know, and it's not drastic, the change in my life. But that's the majority of stories. That's what it is. It's just God working in our lives to draw us closer to Him, closer to each other, and to bring glory to His kingdom. So, thank you very much for listening. Sorry for the alms and that I meant to say. God bless you all.
Thank you. Amen. And if our worship team would come this morning. Amen. Thank you so much.